This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You're listening to KCBS In-Depth.
Really, in order to find quality care, you often have to be on a wait list that's months long.
The people, places, and issues the Bay Area's talking about.
The aggressive advocates who were looking to overrule Roe for so long, they really had no idea of the consequences they might be opening up.
In this case, there very well may be charges that are appropriate. For example, trying to obstruct an official proceeding of Congress, right? That is unlawful.
This is KCBS In-Depth.
Welcome to KCBS's In Depth. I'm Patty Rising. The devastating fires in Southern California are a wake-up call for many parts of the Bay Area. Several areas share the same risk as what created the firestorm in Los Angeles. On this week's In Depth, we'll be bringing you a portion of a recent special hosted by Fire Safe Marin titled L.A. Fires, Lessons for Marin. Here now is host Rich Shortall and a panel of experts.
Tonight, we're going to explore what happened in Los Angeles and how the lessons learned from this event and other recent wildfires can help us to better prepare for wildfires here in Marin. I'm Rich Shortall with FireSafe Marin. Let's begin our conversation by introducing our guests. To my right here, I have Jason Weber, Chief of the Marin County Fire Department. Next to him is Steven Torrance, the Director of our Office of Emergency Management. Then we have Mark Brown, the Executive Officer of the Marin Wildfire Prevention Authority, or Marin Wildfire, as we call it now. And then last, we have Rick Navarro, Chief of the Mill Valley Police Department. I want to welcome all of you, and thank you very much for coming tonight. We appreciate it. The first question I have is, let's talk a little bit about the terrain and the conditions to try to find out what's similar between Los Angeles and here. Mark, can you tell us a little bit? What do you think about that?
Well, both Marin and L.A. are coastal counties, right? So we're up against the ocean, and we both experience the same type of wind event. They call them the Santa Ana winds. We call them the Diablo winds. Our building stock age of our homes are very similar, and how they're arranged is very similar. We have steep hills, canyons, narrow roads higher up on the hills, and houses are a little bit more separated higher on the hills. But as we start getting lower in the hills, we start getting the houses closer together, very similar to L.A.
Yeah. How about the vegetation?
So L.A. County is more brush, and we have more grass and timber. But the fire behavior is going to be very similar based on the wind that we see with those wind events.
Yeah. And I guess it's those valleys and those winds and all that are channeling the fires and whatnot. Yeah. So one of the things that could be a little bit confusing sometimes, I think, for residents is the difference between a wildfire, a, quote, wooey fire, and an urban conflagration. Chief, want to take that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that fire behaving on the landscape as it did in Southern California or in Paradise or Lahaina, when you have these wind events and that are fueling really embers, millions of embers at, you know, 40, 50, 60 miles an hour, It doesn't matter what we call it. The outcomes are the same. And I think that no matter where you live, and even if you thought of yourself as completely safe, because you live in a somewhat urban area, that's a myth. That legend needs to be put to bed. Everyone in California or a Mediterranean climate where we see drying landscape and hot, dry winds is susceptible to a significant fire. And the devastation that we've now seen, you know, on an island, in Paradise up in Northern California, the North Bay fires that were not that long ago, and of course, most recently in Los Angeles.
Understood. Can we compare the firefighting resources available in Los Angeles versus Marin?
Well, I think, I mean, Los Angeles is a large urban area with an enormous amount of firefighting resources available to them. And you know, no matter how many resources you have when you're dealing with that kind of an event with wind that's driving that and then multiple fires in the same regional area, it would draw down, you know, the greatest area. And Los Angeles is probably, you know, has more resources per capita, certainly than other parts of California, and if not across the country and the world. You know, we're here in Marin, we're in the North Bay, we are connected to our partners. We have a very robust mutual aid system. You know, any day of the week we have 35 engines available to us, and, you know, 80,000 homes or structures. So you can see how quickly you can be outnumbered. We do upstaff during wind events, so we pre-position resources with help funding from the state of California as well as locally. But, you know, I think what we're going to talk about tonight is how important it is to create a resilient community. And, you know, you need to give us a fighting chance. And that means defensible space and home hardening, because our engines can be much more effective under those circumstances when we have multiple structures to defend. If you know, we don't have a conflagration where house after house is on fire. Because we're just outgunned at that point.
Yeah. I think sort of building on that, unfortunately, I think one of the sources of misinformation that's out there has to do with water supply. So we hear about hydrants ran out of water. Of course, we've got hundreds of fire engines out there working, drawing water. Can you explain a little bit about what the water supply issues are there and maybe contrast it to Marin?
Well, I think, you know, none of our water systems are designed to have 10,000 homes wiped out with open butts pouring water out. You know, many of the water systems are refilled overnight, so water's pumped from a lower level to tanks at a higher level, and that's a lot of the case in Marin because of our geography. They refill at night, and in preparation for a lot of showers in the morning for irrigation to come on, they're not designed to be wiped out, you know, 10,000 open butts. We have a lot of water tenders available to us through the mutual aid system and the agencies in Marin. We have the ability to pump, whether it be water out of reservoirs or the bay. But, you know, in a tactic of firefighting tactics associated with a wildland urban interface fire, you have 500 gallons on your tank and you need to make that last. And going back to emphasizing having homes defendable, easily to extinguish, we can make that 500 gallons on our engines go a long way if the house is defendable.
And Rich, if I can add, Marin Water and North Marin Water are very proactive. Under red flag days, they will make sure that all the tanks are topped off before the wind event occurs. But for me, instead of focusing on water systems failing, why don't we focus on keeping homes from igniting in the first place? Because that's what's making the water systems fail. So if we can keep the homes from igniting, then we're going to save the water system.
That sounds like a good plan. And I do believe Marin, for a long time, financed by the voters, has a program in place for the wind water to actually expand the water capacity with new pipes and whatnot.
Yeah, go ahead, Jace.
Yeah, in partnership with the fire chiefs, Marin Municipal Water created the Fire Flow, and it was the replacement of many of the mains that were antiquated or near end of life. And we've made significant progress. That funding expires in just a few years in 2029, so we're going to have to go back and ask Marin voters, is this something they're still interested in continuing? Of course, we recommend the replacement of these things and making them as resilient, because it's not just a wildland fire, it's an earthquake. It's the other disasters we can experience that can compromise our water system. Obviously, we want that to be intact.
Well, great that we're being proactive here on that. I think that's a real plus.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sort of related to the water supply, I put this one to you, Mark, is there's a lot of talk, well, if you just put sprinklers on the homes, that's going to save all these problems.
Yeah, we get hit up about external sprinklers for homes quite a bit. And my experience is water that's applied without purpose is usually water that's wasted. Under these wind conditions, the sprinklers really aren't going to be able to deliver the water exactly where we need it, number one. Number two, your water isn't successful just by itself. We need firefighters actually working the material where the water is going. And we need, when the ember lands, we need the water to go to where the ember is. With the sprinklers and the wind, we're not guaranteed that's going to happen. And then finally, we're talking about water systems collapsing. One of those sprinkler systems is about 12 to 18,000 gallons per 24 hours. So if you have every house using 12 to 18,000 for every 24 hours, think about how fast a water system will fail.
I think related to that, we'll be talking about them more, but there's a lot of better strategies for protecting homes coming up here. So, Stephen, one of the things, of course, that people are always concerned about is alert and warning. Can you talk about anything that you know about the experience down there and maybe contrast it to the system we have here in Marin?
So alert and warning is definitely something that is top of mind for everyone. Right now, we know that whether it's in Los Angeles County, within the cities that are within the counties of Los Angeles, there's a lot of agencies that have robust systems. But the core thing is making sure that people are signed up. And so across the entire state of California, we are always championing signing up for alert and warning systems throughout the state because we want to make sure that people can get the message. You've seen throughout the state that wireless emergency alerts go out. We want to be able to localize those messages. And so throughout the entire state, my colleagues and I are always talking about how do we get more people in. In Marin County, we only have 35% of our community members opted into the system, and we want that number significantly higher. Being able to get people a text message, a phone call, whether it's on a landline or a cell phone, whether they're in the county or outside the county, we want to make sure that no matter where you are, that those messages are getting to you. Of course, there's always areas for improvement with emergency alerting. When we start looking at wireless emergency alerts, whether it's a power failure, whether it's just the cell towers not being available, within Marin, we have a couple of patches or places that we know where cell coverage is not the best. And so what are those redundancies? And so we really want to make sure that people know if you're in an area that has poor cell phone coverage or no cell phone coverage, what are those redundancies, like signing up for making sure that your system is on Wi-Fi so we can get a text message through to you via Wi-Fi. There are always things that we can do to improve the systems, working with our software vendors. But when we start looking at the things that we can learn from Los Angeles County, we always point to making sure that people are signed up. That's how we're going to have the most effective alerting system, but that's how we can get messages to people regardless of where they are.
Rich, can I just add to that really quick? We also have in Southern Marin the LRAD system, the long-range acoustical devices. And that is either a siren or a message that's going to be put out to the community. We also, in law enforcement, we have a high-low siren. That is a European siren. And if you hear the high-low, you tell everyone it's time to go. So that is something that every law enforcement officer's vehicle in Marin County has. And I believe some of the firefighter engines in Marin County. So if you hear the high-low, it's time to go.
I won't ask you to make that high-low sound.
Thank you very much. My friend the fire chief has asked me to do that recently.
I think the good news from both of you, and this really should make people feel comfortable, is that we have so many systems and they're redundant. But it doesn't do a lot of good if we're not taking advantage of this as residents. So kind of a pitch here is please sign up for Alert and Marin. We're going to revisit this later.
Well, and Rich, if I could add, you know, the Board of Supervisors made a significant investment in the Office of Emergency Management, adding staffing, adding a 24-hour duty officer. You know, our county to the north, Sonoma, did something similar after the events up there. But the partnership we have with law enforcement, we are tied to the hip during these incidents. So there's a law enforcement representative and a fire representative that are literally sitting next to each other to make sure that there's clear messaging going to our residents, visitors, whomever it is, through the Office of Emergency Management. And I think that's, you know, something important to take note of, and it works really well. And you see us here sitting together as a team today. That's the same response we're going to have in the field.
So I think we should have a high level of confidence that the alert and warnings are going to get out, but then people have to take action. So typically what people are concerned about, of course, is evacuation. So, Rick, I know that Mill Valley has been very proactive in this. Do you want to tell us a little bit about anything you might know about what happened in Los Angeles and maybe contrast that with what's happening here in Marin?
Yeah, a couple of things. And Mark Brown spoke about this. The terrain is actually very similar. And up in the canyon area, we have very narrow, windy roads. And so when a community member wants to evacuate from their neighborhood, that's a very narrow path. And then we're also trying to get public safety members up into the threat zone to fight the fires. So we need to make sure that people take one car per family and then also reach out to their neighbors to see if they have any special needs, if they can help them evacuate. But the less vehicles on the roadway is critical. We have done some studies through Google and Ladris AI, and what we're finding out that the less vehicles on the roadway is going to save us critical time to get people out of the threat zone. In Mill Valley, we've also done a couple of things. As Chief Weber spoke, we pre-position trailers for evacuations. On red flag days, we put those trailers out, and there are cones and A-frame signage that we will set up so that we have contraflow, so that we're opening up those roadways. A lot of our communities in Mill Valley have one, two, maybe three pathways to get to the major thoroughfare to get out of the threat zone. And so it's critical for us in Mill Valley that we have the contraflow in place, and we practice that with our public safety partners, law, fire, and Department of Public Works, so that we have that muscle memory with our community members, and we are really working side by side, as Chief Weber said, in the command center and making those critical decisions to get people out of the threat zone.
So we work collaboratively here at Marin with the different agencies. We've pre-planned with this. We rehearse it frequently. It's a pretty good system out there.
Rich, can I talk about the need for early evacuation? Please evacuate when you get the evacuation order. And if you have access and functional needs, don't necessarily wait for the fire to occur. If you were in a really high fire danger area and we know that we have a particularly strong event coming, maybe you go visit a family friend or a family member outside of the high impact area. And then remember, as the chief mentioned, this is a community event. And if you know any of your neighbors that have access and functional needs, help them. But in the LA fires, we were hearing radio calls 8 hours into the fire where firefighters are having to rescue people who did not evacuate. We need people to leave early, and that's going to allow us to be able to get resources into the fire area quicker.
Good strategy. Be the first one out. You're not going to be dealing with the traffic, right?
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Rick, how many people roughly do you think were evacuated in L.A.?
So that's a great question. There's a couple hundred thousand people that were evacuated from L.A. Think about that in context to Marin County. Our population in Marin County is 260,000 roughly. That would be almost the entire county evacuating on our roadways. So as Mark spoke, early evacuation, have that communication, know your plan, talk with your family members, have a plan in place, and be prepared. If it's a red flag day, fill up your car with gas, have your batteries charged, have a go bag, have a plan, take your medication with you, think about your pets, and also communicate where are we going to reunify our family members. Those are all big things that really need to be in the back of your mind because a disaster could strike at any time.
I think when you look at those numbers and you think of other large evacuations that have happened in California, I think people should rest assured that pretty much everybody safely evacuates. It works better if you're signed up for the alerts. It works better if you're the first one out. Help your neighbors. Don't take as many cars. But fact is, hundreds of thousands of people could be safely evacuated, and we saw that in Los Angeles. Sadly, some people died, but not in the evacuations. People had stayed back in their homes. So beyond the cooperation that we have here and some of this planning, Mark, I think Marin is also doing some further planning for evacuation. You want to talk about that?
Well, we have with the Marin Wildfire Prevention Authority, we have a tremendous amount of money going towards wildfire mitigations. One of them is for evacuation route clearing. And the idea is that, okay, no community has been designed for every car to hit the road at once, right? So we know that there's going to be traffic jams. And so we want the roadways to be safe under fire conditions if you are in your car. And the message is, please stay in your car. You'd be surprised to find out how resilient cars are. We also have, as the chief mentioned, Ladris AI, which is allowing us to do some traffic modeling. And through the traffic modeling, we can start creating plans like Mill Valley has created for the rest of our communities that include Contraflow and being able to get people out in the most efficient area. And then there is the design and implementation of a temporary fire refuge areas. And so that would be areas where we could put residents temporarily in an area within the impact area of the fire and keep them safe in that area until the fire passes, and then we have them take the rest of the way out.
Right. So, Rick, you've been doing evacuation drills in Mill Valley for a long time. How has the planning and thinking about it evolved over time, and particularly if you could bring into play what Mark was talking about the areas of temporary refuge?
Yeah, so temporary refuge areas are really critical to us when we're running evacuations to get people off the roadway and to get people from the canyon down into the flat zones that are free from fire and into an area that is open and get those vehicles off the roadway. So in Mill Valley, we have our temporary refuge areas such as blacktops on school grounds and shopping centers. But we've also identified two very key critical areas. One is our Bayfront Park. That can take 1,000 cars. And then also at Tim Pius High School on the ball fields, that could take roughly 1,500 cars. That's a lot of vehicles that we can get off the roadway. They can sit for a few hours in a very safe area, or maybe even longer in a very safe area, and then we can also bring resources to them. So community refuge areas, temporary refuge areas are a key piece to our evacuation planning.
Yeah, good strategy. So, Stephen, does your office kind of assist with that in terms of guiding people to some of these areas and whatnot?
So we work very directly with all of the agencies within Marin County. Chief Navarro mentioned, you know, we work with them on the evacuation planning. So utilizing the Ladris AI tool, understanding how long it takes to evacuate certain areas. But also when we're going out and doing evacuation drills with the community, we are working in lockstep with these agencies. And so we want to figure out how we can actually expedite alert and warning when we go through and understand how long it takes people to evacuate from their homes. Also, what are the things that we can do on the software side to make sure that we can get out alert and warnings to the members of the community faster, but also working with the field responders to say if they're going to use high lows, making sure that we have unified messaging despite what patch or badge that we have. We want to make sure that if you hear a high low or if you hear an LRAD or you get that text message, that all of those things sound that say the same thing, but also tell you where to go. And so that's where we want to have a unified messaging, but we have to work with our partner agencies first to make sure that we're working to serve the community in the best way.
So sign up so that you're getting these messages, right?
That is correct.
You'll get the direction and the guidance that we all need to do this safely. So let's talk about wildfire prevention. When I say wildfire prevention, can we accept that we're going to continue to have wildfires?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So we're not like stopping them from happening. That's just not realistic. We need to adapt and thrive in that environment. So what are some of the, Mark, I'll start with you on this one. What are some of the government agencies in Marin County doing for helping to make us safer in wildfires?
Well, I think our number one thing is our home evaluation program. Through Marin Wildfire, we have approximately $4.1 million that's going to back out to our member agencies to support roughly 55 to 60 home evaluators. And we're doing close to 32,000 inspections a year. That's a pace that we've kept for about 3 or 4 years now. And so
with those inspections, many of them were having the opportunity to have one-on-one engagement with our residents, where they're walking around their property with the inspector, and that is our best public education right there. So we don't always have the opportunity to have the inspection with our residents, but if they aren't there, then we leave a door hanger on their door where they can log into the report, they could see what we were able to see, and then ask for a full inspection for their full property. And I think I know the only way that we're going to be successful in becoming a fire adaptive community is if our residents take action along with all the work that our public safety agencies have been doing.
So is it fair to say that a large percentage of Marin residents have actually received this report?
We have reached approximately 80% of the residential structures in Marin. We have hit 100% of the residential structures that are in the wildland urban interface. And many of the structures have been inspected multiple times since Marin wildfire has come about. Yeah.
So somewhat like signing up for Alert Marin, you also have to open the report, right?
You absolutely have to open a report. And we find that people who aren't opening the report aren't taking action, whereas people who have opened the report within 15 days, that 60% of those people take some form of action. Now, is it everything we're asking them to do? No. But at least it's some form of action, and we ask that they just have a plan to pick off the items that are on that report.
So you've got a personal guide for this.
I think the key here is sometimes it can feel overwhelming what's being requested. And, you know, the intent is not punitive. We really want people to look at the report and start to digest it. There are simple things they can do that have huge impact. Immediately around the house, that first 5 feet is so important. And then, you know, work your way out from there. But opening the report is the first step, and we're here to help you. We don't want this to be punitive. We want to see action. When we start to see action on a community level, we're going to see a change in the landscape that we're now becoming a fire-adapted community, meaning fire can hit our community, and it's not going to create the devastation like we've seen in these other communities. That's what we're trying to achieve. But first step is open it. Second step is it's like eating an elephant. You got to take one bite. And eventually you'll get there, and we want to help you do that.
Yeah. We'll come back to this a little bit more, but in the meantime, kind of on the larger level, we have a lot of open space in Marin County. You can see the picture of Mount Tam behind us and whatnot, which is great. That's why we all love to live here. What are some of the larger projects, for example, shaded fuel breaks? What's that all about?
So that's really, you know, fire was a natural part of the ecosystem here for many years, interrupted by the settlement and homes being built. And all of a sudden, you know, a fire policy that says all fire has to be extinguished. And the reason for that was we didn't want people's houses to burn. Well, that created a really unnatural level of vegetation across, you know, the western United States, really. This isn't unique to Marin. And the challenges that presents now is the fuel load is enormous. And so we're seeing fire behave on the landscape with these kind of winds like we hadn't previously. And it's really, you know, 100 years of fire suppression. So we have several choices of things we can do to reduce that. One of them is vegetation management. And so you talk about a shaded fuel break. That's reducing the dead and down material, targeting non-native invasives to create a more natural state. Fire will behave less extreme on that. May not end up in the canopy and running. It'll go to the ground where firefighting aircraft, bulldozers, and crews can be more effective. Prescribed fire, I think we'll talk a little bit about that, is another tool where we're starting to reduce that same fuel load of dead and down material. It's more challenging in the urban interface because you can't just light a fire and let it go. So sometimes it's techniques of the vegetation management crews come in, they'll do piles, then we'll burn in wetter weather. So there's a host of tools available to us, and we're making significant progress across the county, but we have to be doing more of it. And it's because we're using that to replace what was natural fire across the landscape for long before we all arrived.
Yeah. Can you describe, Mark, some of the bigger shaded fuel break type projects that were in wildfires funding?
Yeah, you bet. We have over 20 large vegetation management projects. A lot of them are shaded fuel breaks. I'll start in the north and work south. In Nevada, we have the Greater Nevada Shaded Fuel Break. It's a 60-mile,
200 to 300 foot wide shaded fuel break going around the entire community in the wildland urban interface. And as Jason mentioned, it's not to stop the fire, it's to change the fire behavior. In San Rafael, we have multiple smaller shaded fuel breaks right along the wildland urban interface boundary. We also have the San Rafael San Anselmo fuel reduction zone in the Mount Tamalpais Cemetery. And that is a large eucalyptus grove that we're really concerned about it throwing embers and immediate threat to the structures. In the Greater Ross Valley, we have the Greater Ross Valley Shaded Fuel Break, a 38-mile shaded fuel break along the wildland urban interface boundary again. And then in Southern Marin, we have at least 10 different shaded fuel break projects all along Mill Valley, Tam Valley, Homestead Valley, Marin City. We've done a significant amount of work in Marin City. If you drive up and down 101 in the Waldo Grade, you see some of the work that's been going on along 101. And in West Marin, we've been doing a lot of evacuation route clearing.
You've been listening to KCBS In Depth. Get every episode by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms. Visit KCBSRadio.com for more news and interviews. We are the Bay Area's news station, KCBS.